Welcome to Cross Examination, gang. I'm your host, James Sexton. We are going to take, as we always do on Cross Examination, the wisdom, I put air quotes when I say that, of the internet, the self-proclaimed experts that are out there. We'll give them a thumbs up, a thumbs down. We'll see if their advice is objectionable or acceptable. Let's get after it.
All right, Jim, we started off with perhaps the worst example of pandering I have ever seen. This is Brett Green, who's on Instagram as Dad Got Bars.
Oh, he's in my top five. It's my top five. It's Jadakiss, Pusha T, Biggie, Eminem, and Dad Got Bars.
Top five, dead or alive.
Dylon, Dad Got Bars. He spits hot fire. He spits hot pander.
Lucky you were never crying on that bathroom floor. No. Never had the devil knocking at your front door. Never thinking, damn, I can take it no more. No more.
The shit I do for you people, I can't even.
He's on a team.
Seven layers that cuts deep, dock behind that blue sheet. Think about it, still loose sleep. Won't be the same for like 12 weeks. Nothing about it is routine. Bloody gloves like a crime scene.
What do you got on the rapping dad? Dad Got Bars.
I'm literally speechless. I don't think in the history of the show anything has really blown my mind like that. Yeah, I mean, we might have reached maximum pandering now. We might have
terminal might have velocity of pandering.
Yeah, we have reached escape velocity like that. We have reached the event horizon of pandering. Like we have reached the edge of the black hole from which there is no return and from which no light can survive. Yeah, I have nothing to say to that except that if you like that, probably don't like and subscribe this show. Probably
we don't. Need
don't.
You.
We don't. I don't. I don't. I don't want anyone to connect me in the algorithm to that. That is the filming of the C-section thing. It's a nice touch.
That's easy.
I mean, if it was an SNL skit, it would have worked.
Yeah, you know yeah. That's honestly what it looks
it's
like.
The fact that he's actually serious.
Yeah.
Like it's the fact that he's like, you know what? I'm going to do a thing about. I'm going to do a thing about. I mean, that's. Yeah.
And you know, I will say this. He does well for himself. Almost 300,000 followers. He gets some views. But I don't think it's a coincidence that the two biggest examples of pandering on the internet are his biggest hits. You know, these are his pinned videos, millions of views.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's because there's a lot of women being like, yeah.
He's an Emmy-nominated actor?
Apparently, yeah.
What was he nominated for? I don't...
I hope not Dad Got Bars.
I don't know what's going on there. That's... Listen, you know what? I guess I'm going to take the Don Corleone approach on this. I don't criticize how another man makes his living. I mean, it works.
About the nicest thing you can say there.
Yeah, I don't. I can't imagine someone being like, you know what? My jam for you know spring 2026 is going to be. It's going to be Dad Got Bars. His C-section rap is really. It's going to be. That's what the big Jeeps are going to be pumping this summer. You know what I mean? Like that's.
That's what the
that's
big Jeeps
terrifying.
Be this summer.
Yeah, yeah. That's I don't know what to tell you. That's something. That's something. If that's in your headphones, we might need to have a conversation about your taste in music.
I don't believe we are normalizing talking about the destructive sexual content of these books being detrimental to women, women's mental health, their marital health, their relational health. We are not normalizing that it's a problem. In fact, we're normalizing that it's a good thing.
So this is a take that's all over the internet, not just this one account. There are the women who embrace smut and say that they're reading books, and then there are the people saying this is just a female version of porn.
So by smut, we mean romance novels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the overly aggressive ones, there's smut novels that involve, like, kidnapping and gunplay and craziness.
Yes. You know, I guess what I would say to this is A, anything that's done in the form of literature as opposed to film, I think it is different because it is more of an imagined content and it's giving leaving more to your imagination. So I think that is should be treated differently than a visual representation. But, you know, I think that those stories exist because they do fulfill some archetype that is appealing. And so I don't know. I'm not a big fan of, as they say, you know, yucking someone's yums. I think that if this is between consenting adults and it doesn't scare the horses, I'm kind of okay with it. I feel like, you know, I see the argument that this person is making, which is just as the argument you've heard about pornography, which is it creates an a potentially harmful view of how sexual relations between men and women should be. That was Andrea Dworkin's key concept, as she was essentially, because the counter argument to the anti-porn movement has always been, if you don't like porn, don't consume it. Like, if you don't like porn, don't watch it. And Andrea Dworkin and some other second wave feminists, their view was, right, I don't, but I also have to live in a society where violent pornography is being played around, and it's creating in men, particularly, a belief that women want to be humiliated, degraded, you know, treated in violent ways. So I think this is just a corollary to that. This is a woman saying, look, this creates tropes. It creates in women a belief that, you know, what you should be aspiring to is being objectified and submissive, and you should find a dominant, controlling man who's going to rough you up. And but I will say those stereotypes are a real time saver. Like there's a reason that porn, and there's a reason why smut, if we're using that term, are popular. It's popular because it's keying into something in our brains. It's keying into something in our sexual proclivities. And, you know, it's speaking to that. And I don't know that just refusing to acknowledge that has ever been successful. I think, you know, like praying away the gay has never worked. And I think the idea of saying, well, don't find that attractive, don't find that desirous. Okay, but we like what we like. Like trying to sort of hold your desire down is like trying to push a balloon underwater. It's just going to pop up in weird other ways. You're not going to be able to sustain that for a period of time. So I think if this is a trope or a concept that appeals to a large market, it's because it's hitting something in that zeitgeist, and it's hitting something that's creating, you know, it's resonating. And so I don't think ignoring that is a good way to solve things. I think it's worthwhile, though, to comment on, hey, is this a healthy model of how people should relate to each other? Is it realistic? Like, I think there's tremendous value in explaining to young men, you do understand this is a movie, right? Like, this isn't real. This isn't how people relate to each other. Like, violence is similar. You know, if you've ever been around real violence, like you watch these movies and people just beat the shit out of each other, and the amount of punishment people can take, the hero can take in a movie, it's not real. Like if you got hit in the head with a baseball bat, you're going to die or be unconscious or like need help learning how to tie your shoes again. You're not going to like get up 5 minutes later and go, and then like go back to fighting. That's not how it works. Real violence is very different than that. So it's the same thing. I think if we get our sex education from smut novels or from pornography, it's not going to be healthy. But if we said to people, hey, I understand this is like, you know, resonating with you in some fashion, but remember, that's not actually how people relate to each other, that might be less unhealthy. Just like watching a film and saying, hey, you realize this hyper-violent thing, that's not how violence actually looks. I think that's realistic. All right, gang, I'm going to share something with you about a sexting secret. And this is one of my secret weapons. One of my secret weapons, first time I've been, it's just us talking, so I can say this to you. Products by Soul, out of office gummies. I have to tell you, out of office THC and CBD gummies, I have been using these for years. I have been a subscriber for years. We actually approached them and said, hey, can we advertise your products? And I was thrilled when the team at Soul, a family business, said, yeah, get involved, Sexton Show. So we're here with you now with an offer code we're going to tell you about in a second. Sexton, 30% off on your first order of out of office. And I'm telling you, once you try these, you're going to try them again and again and be a subscriber just like I've been for years. Out of office THC CBD gummies let you control your experience. They have the singles. These are great for me on a Saturday afternoon after it's been a long week and I just want to chill. 1.5 milligrams of THC, 15 milligrams of CBD. When I have a trial the next day and I need a good night's sleep and I want something that's really going to bring me down, I go with the doubles myself. These are 3 milligrams of THC, 30 milligrams of CBD. Sometimes I'll take two of these if I really need to get some good sleep. When I say to you, what's great about out of office is you can control your experience. They give you the tools to do that. You start low, you start slow, and you figure out exactly what it is. And I have to tell you, after years of using these, I know exactly which experience I want and exactly what the recipe is for me to get it. So check out of office gummies. I really think you're going to love these. I know I absolutely do. Use offer code Sexton at the link below for 30% off of your first order.
Next up, we have Dr. Rand Wilson. And this is
it sounds like a superhero's name. You know what I mean? Like his alter ego.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Dr. Rand Wilson, when he gets angry, turns into the monster, you know?
Well, this guy turns into the trail therapy doctor. This is actually a link that you sent me, Jim.
Oh, this f***ing guy.
Yeah. It's time to let go of the patriarchy.
Come take a walk with me.
Or not.
I need to talk. Are you aware that male-dominated society is a relatively new phenomenon in the human species? Only 10 to 12,000 years old. Did you know that close primate cousins, the chimpanzees, that we have another close primate cousin called the bonobo, with whom we're equally closely related, who are female-dominated?
You get it. I mean, yeah, like, so he just goes on and on.
Because I was like, is this guy serious? Like, yeah. The pandering is hard in this one. Like, if you look at the likes and the comments on that, it's just pandering,
it's
man.
So
it's
really gross, dude.
Come walk with me. Like, guys, just save it. Like, that's just absolutely batshit. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you'll never go wrong as a guy getting up and saying, men, we need to do better for women. And then lots of women are going to like, oh, it's so great. Like, but it's just so dishonest. And it's just like the pick me women that do the like, ladies, let me tell you something. If you're not greeting your man with a hot meal naked in an apron, then you don't even deserve him. Like, who's that for? You're not actually educating women. You're doing that for men to be like, yeah, she's great. I'm going to subscribe to her OF. Like, that's insane. Like, just knock it off. Like, it's so dishonest. It's so disingenuous. And if anybody thinks that that's actually good advice, and by the way, we're not going for a walk. I'm on my phone on the toilet probably, and you're going for a fucking, you know what would be good? Put your phone down and go for an actual fucking walk, and you'll probably reflect more on your own history of relationships than you would scrolling on this guy's TikTok.
Next up, we have Emily Bell O'Neill, who gives life and career upgrade advice.
Great.
And she's discussing the bird watching theory. Are you aware of this?
No.
This went viral over the last couple months.
Is this the thing about I saw a bird today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right.
31% chance of getting divorced if you ever get married, and that's on the low end. Dr. Gottman could predict with 80 to 90% accuracy not only if you were going to get divorced, but when. And he would determine this in a couple of different ways by asking different questions, but it was literally in a matter of minutes he could tell you if your relationship was going to last. One of the studies that he would do is he put binoculars in this like kind of room or apartment setup, and couples would come into the room, and typically one person would pick up the binoculars and they would start to birdwatch. And once a person with the binoculars naturally found a bird, they'd want to show their partner. So Dr. Gottman would look at the reaction from the partner who was supposed to be looking at the other person's birds. If that person had a positive response, they actually went over and looked at the bird, or they thought it was interesting, or they made some type of positive comment, that was a really good sign. And of course, on the other hand, if the person disregarded the bird that somebody was trying to show them, or they didn't have any interest, or they thought it was stupid and they said that, that's what Dr. Gottman would pick up.
I mean, I'm a fan of the Gottmans, and I think that they have some intelligent stuff to say, but I'm going to give two criticisms of them with love. Iron sharpens iron. One, they have a tendency to quote percentages because the internet loves it. And it's usually a small sample size. And it's usually like, you know, an 87% chance of you getting divorced. Okay, that's not accurate. Like, anybody quotes a statistic, a giant issue like the chances of you divorcing, which is such a multivariate equation tied to so many things, and saying, oh, that I can predict with this percentage accuracy. That's, you're just not being honest. Two, the birdwatching thing, although I understand it's like very specific, it feels like it should be a study that was done by the Center for Pointing Out Obvious Shit. Like, basically what you're saying is, let's create a moment, an experiment, where a person pretends they're interested in something. And does their partner share their interest and excitement, or does their partner dismiss it? Okay, first of all, if you're in a long-term relationship, your partner has never once expressed the slightest interest in bird watching, and suddenly starts saying, oh, I saw an interesting bird today. It's not abnormal for you to go, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we've never mentioned birds ever in the context of this relationship. I had no idea you had any interest in birds. Like, what is this? Like, what is this discussion? Like, it would be like if I was like, you know, I was on the log flume yesterday. Wait, what? Like, hold on. First, before we get into what occurred on the log flume, when the fuck were you on a log flume? Like, what? I thought you went to work yesterday. Like, so that's kind of already setting it up for that person's reaction to be an artificial reaction. But I think the underlying message, which is when your partner expresses interest in something, if your response is, oh, what about that is interesting to you? Or, oh, I'm excited you're excited about this thing. Like, tell me about it. That's a good sign. And if your partner's reaction is, what? Like, what are you talking about? Who the fuck cares? That's probably a bad sign. Really?
No kidding.
Wow. Did you get a PhD to be able to tell us that? Because that feels like something that's pretty fucking obvious to me. And again, whether it's bird watching or whether it's anything else, if it's, oh, you're never going to believe what my sister did, or you're never going to believe what my cousin said, or you're never going to believe what happened on this show that I was watching. If your reaction is, what? Like, okay, that's a bad sign. If your reaction is this person's excited and their excitement excites me, and oh, no, what? Tell me what happened. That's interesting. Like, if you're in a relationship and it's fulfilling, you should be excited by your partner's excitement, period. If you're not, that tells you something's going wrong.
Next up, we have the Black Ryan Seacrest posing the question.
There's a Black Ryan Seacrest?
There is
like
now.
An AI thing, or there is a...
he just goes by the Black Ryan Seacrest.
He calls himself the Black Ryan Seacrest. And is his name Ryan Seacrest?
His name is Bryce something. Bryce Estelle. But
how do I don't even okay. Is there a Black Jim Sexton? Is there like Doc?
Oh,
is this like that movie?
Please.
What was that movie? Us or whatever was there? Yeah. Them?
Oh yeah, my God! Like, I would love nothing more than for a black creator out there to become Sexton. The Black
oh
Jim
God,
Sexton.
That'd be amazing!
Please.
Oh, sign me up. I'd let you. Know, that guy could just take over.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It'd just be because I will tell you. My friend Xavier is also a divorce attorney. He's a great guy. He was on reality TV. Give him a follow. And he wears 3-piece suits also.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking guy looks so much better than me. He's younger than me, but he also the dark skin.
The
you have so many
the,
color
the, yeah.
options. Yeah. Like he could wear like a purple shirt or a purple tie, and he looks so good. And I look fucking ridiculous wearing that stuff. Like it's so he has so many more options than me, but he looks great. I give him that.
Well, the Black Ryan Seacrest is posing the question: what can men expect from women?
Can expect things from men, but men can't expect anything from women. Like, I seriously want you to stop and think about one thing that it's socially acceptable for a man to expect from a woman. Like, can you think of a tangible thing where if I got on here and I was like, hey, I think in a relationship that women should blah, 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 that wouldn't be problematic or red pill? Because from what I notice, it's like, it's okay if a woman expects men to pay for dates, but that man can't expect the woman to put out. It's okay if women expect men to pay all their rent, but if he expects her to cook and clean, he's a filthy misogynist. Women can expect a man to facilitate an environment in which they can become a stay-at-home mother. However, that man cannot expect her to become a stay-at-home mother.
I mean, he's not wrong. I also don't understand this influencer thing of having like your blanket around you, having like a binky around you when you're doing your... It feels weird to me. Like, it feels like you're like, is it supposed to be like we're intimately, you know, cuddling and talking? I don't know what that's about. Look, I don't... There is a very strange double standard around right now when it comes to what's acceptable for a man to, for a woman to demand of a man in relationship versus a man to demand of a woman in relationship or expect in a relationship. And I think that that is a function of having been, you know, told for the last decade or more that, you know, women are girl bosses and deserve, they're all amazing princesses and they're all perfect exactly the way they are and beautiful at any size and beautiful whatever it is that they're doing, and men just kind of suck no matter what. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is the reality of things. I mean, I think I can't think of any answer to that question. I was trying to think, as someone who argues for a living and is used to seeing both sides of things, what would be socially acceptable to get on the internet and say a man can expect from a woman?
I think it's going to be childbirth.
No,
that's going to be
because
answer,
it would
no?
be many, many women choose not to have children
true,
and
true.
To just find a woman as well. Oh, what are women birthing chambers for you? Is this the Matrix that their job is to just give birth to? They're there to hold your seed. Is that mm-hmm. what? No, there would be no acceptable answer, which, by the way, tells you something. Mm-hmm. The fact that the list of what should a woman expect from a man in a relationship that you could get up on the internet anytime and run off a really long fucking list and it would be acceptable. But none of us could think of one thing that it would not be considered red pill and sexist for a man to say he expects from a woman in a relationship. The only answer I could think of that is potentially societally acceptable is something that would be completely gender neutral. Like both partners should expect to feel safe. Both partners should expect to be able to vocalize who they are in an authentic manner. Both partners should be, but it would have to be very neutral. Like both people have a right to be an authentic expression of who they are without fear for their physical safety. Like that's something a man should be able to expect from a woman. That he, you know, he has the right to be an authentic expression of himself without fear for his physical safety. I think that that's a fair thing to say. But again, like, I think what he's really capturing there is that, like, the thing of, hey, he should expect support, comfort. That turns into, well, why do you expect a woman to have to comfort you? What are you, a baby? You need to be comforted by a woman? Like, I think you're not allowed to say anything about that stuff without it being very fraught terrain. And again, it's an overcorrection because for many years, it was the other way around.
Next up, we have the Blackout Podcast, and they're discussing a baby nup.
Y'all might never heard. You ever heard of the baby nup?
Yep.
Because my lawyer approached me with that too, as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, where you can set out the outlines of how you want to have this baby, and you can do it in court. Mm-hmm. It's almost like putting yourself on paper. You know what I'm saying? But prehand, before the baby is had, you get to X out all the terms of how you want to handle the situation, what you're willing to pay for. You outline the money and everything before you even had a child.
Is this a popular thing?
No, because a lot of times they're not enforceable. So it would have to be that a person's already pregnant. Because doing a contract for a child that's yet to be born or adopted, other than a surrogacy contract, most jurisdictions don't honor those. You can't, for example, in a prenuptial agreement, you can't put any designations for custody, parenting access, child support related expenses in a prenup.
Wow.
It's not going to be binding if you put it in there. In fact, you have to specifically exclude those items and make very clear that nothing in here should be interpreted as being binding either party's respective rights or obligations related to children born or adopted of the marriage. So I think this is an interesting idea as a statement of intention, but from a legally binding perspective, unless the person is already pregnant. If a person is pregnant and about to give birth, you could come up with contracts that say, here's what our financial rights and obligations would be. Just like if you were divorcing, or if you weren't married to a person, you have a child with them, you can go to family court and you can say, okay, we're going to put together either an agreement, an order on consent, a stipulation to be so ordered by the court, or you can get a court to issue an order that says, here's our respective rights and obligations about decision-making, parenting access, child support related obligations. You can do that, no problem. But just meeting someone, dating them, and then saying, okay, let's have a contract like a prenup, of if we have a kid, here's how that we're going to conduct ourselves. It's not going to be enforceable in almost every jurisdiction. Gang, that's going to do it for this round of cross-examination. I would encourage you, anytime you see something on the internet that you'd like to see me take apart or affirm, please send it over to us at sextonshow.com. We are here for it. We love this stuff. And God knows I will watch it for you, the shit I do for you people. But please remember, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. It really does mean a lot to us. We are danger close to 100,000 subscribers, and all thanks to you, and largely thanks to Cross Examination, which is wildly popular as segments go. But check us out at Sexton Show. Check us out at Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer. For now, we're adjourned.